Program Advisory Committee. It's good to see everyone again. And I just want to take a moment to remind everybody, myself included, to speak into the mic when you are speaking, as people on the committee, of course, and anyone who is giving public testimony. I'll also remind people about our ground rules, which are posted up there, basically about being respectful and following the process. That's about all I have. So this afternoon, the chair, Jackie Bachman, and I will, on occasion, be calling on people, and we'll move forward. So I'll turn it over to Jackie.
Thank you, John.
Okay, of course.
Okay, we'll move on. We have a very big agenda tonight, so I really appreciate everyone being as succinct and aware of the time, and I know, John, you're going to help us with moving forward. First thing we're going to do is the approval of minutes for December 11, 2017. Are there any corrections or additions? Hearing none, I will call for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. The minutes are approved. Okay, we're going to move on to public input. We have five citizens who have turned in forms. Have we received all?
No, because there's no form.
Okay, so let's help with that. And the five that I have in the order that I received them, Sue Wilson is the first speaker, then Gwen Davies, and feel free to come up, the two of you, then David Stein, then Claudia Ballard, then Ed Green, and then I believe we'll have Mike Hirsch.
We'll have one more. Okay.
Yes. So that is six, and each of the people will be speaking for a maximum of 3 minutes. And if you could please introduce yourself and tell us where you live before you start.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when we hit 3 minutes, if anybody goes over, I'll just say 3 minutes and ask you to wrap up.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yep.
Okay. Sue, go ahead.
Sue Wilson, Ashton. It is my understanding that the Ashland Senior Advisory Committee have no direct experience in running a dedicated senior center or personally performing senior case manager services, including outreach services to senior homes. Also, many committee members are connected to county-wide senior services that are non-local in nature and all membership-based services, which brings up conflict of interest concerns. Now the committee has apparently found on the internet Senior Center Standards of Excellent Guidelines to structure its research and recommendations for Ashland Senior Programs. This bureaucratic approach for an operation of 1.7 full-time permanent employees with a limited budget is impractical and unrealistic. An analogy would be someone picking the best architect home builder. Would one pick one that has house plans, a list of tools and resources with experience limited to building campgrounds? Or would one pick an architect builder who has 43 years experience building outstanding homes in the local community, one that knows the customers and what they need and want, one that personally knows all the suppliers and their inventory, one that knows all the workers and their best skills? Which one would build a house in the most cost-efficient and timely manner? The local one, with 43 years experience, of course. Yet the committee members cannot make that choice. To be on the committee, they had to agree to park directors' mandatory limits that the highly qualified and experienced laid-off staff could not be rehired. And the senior program could not be brought back to the way it was before Park dismantled it. As such, the committee cannot bestow Ashland's outstanding senior program, and then, with the knowledgeable help of the experienced staff, improve it by expanding around it. The committee, by accepting Park's limitations, becomes accomplices to the mess Park's made when he shredded the 43-year-old social services program with less than 24 hours notice to the public. The committee members are accomplices in the same way as the getaway drivers from the scene of a robbery. This is not in the best interest of the Ashton community and a betrayal of Ashton seniors' trust. And the parks commissioners stand by and do nothing to stop this insanity. For more information, go to ashtonrecall.com and ashtonsos.com. This is one of the five reasons for a recall. Thank you.
Thank you. Glenn? APRC's ad hoc agenda attachments, following the guidance of standards of excellence set forth by the National Institute of Senior Centers, has completely ignored the senior outreach program that has served the community so well for 40-some years and is sorely needed, especially today. Outreach confidential home visits are a vital part of serving vulnerable seniors. Many seniors can't, won't, physically go to an office and ask for help. Many will not use the phone due to hearing or speech difficulties, and many do not use the computer. Transportation, mobility issues, physical energy, as well as privacy issues are important to understand. Often they are afraid someone will judge them and everyone will think they aren't competent. Fear, shame, lack of knowledge, and pride are barriers to asking for help. Folks asking for help need to know that the person helping them will still respect and value them as an individual as much after they get help as they did before. A trained and competent outreach worker will understand the many barriers and establish the trust necessary to assess the physical, mental, financial, and living situation, and will assist in working through the problem, large or small. Thorough knowledge of community resources is crucial, as is patience, caring, and understanding of the psychology of aging. The outreach worker at a home visit learns more in 5 minutes than in hours in any other setting. Many civil servants routinely visit residences, such as building inspectors, fire and rescue, conservation analysts, utility workers, state case managers. However, in-home visits have been the gold standard and the first requirement for social services and social workers since Jane Addams and others founded the profession. We have an exemplary senior outreach program here in Ashland, and it has been discarded without regard for those who need this part of the safety network. I'm going to throw in, it's not in writing, if you're going to an internet-based system, which it seems like you're really stressing, you are putting insurmountable barriers in front of possibly 40 to 50% of the seniors who currently would be needing the intervention because they might have hearing, vision, financial, computer skills. Every time you learn a program, it changes. Bad websites, hand tremors, pain, or just being overwhelmed. So it is a bad system to rely on the internet. Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah,
our next, and would the audience please refrain from clapping or comments? Thank you. Our next two speakers are David Stein and Claudia Ballard.
David Stein, Ashland. I want to say, can people hear me? I want to say that the senior services of the senior citizens here saved my life. Loretta, who is now no longer working, with about 24 to 27 years experience, I have a form of muscular dystrophy called mitochondrial myopathy. And for people who want to know, it's a progressive disease, it's neuromuscular, and I live with a lot of pain and fatigue. In around 2009, when my rent was getting too high, And being overwhelmed, I heard the person use that word overwhelmed, I was truly overwhelmed, both with my own situation and what was happening to me financially. I had not even a phone to use. Loretta went out of her way, and God bless her, she went out of her way. She found out about me through Ashland Electric. She contacted me through ARC, Ashland Research Center, and she went to my trailer and painstakingly went through what I needed to do to get low-income assistance from DHS. I would have become homeless and I would have probably been dead by this time. She not only was able to get me low-income assistance from DHS, she advocated for me from the Ashland Electric Company that they would further lower my electric bill in the wintertime permanently. I know that I would have fell through the cracks. I did not have the ability, emotionally, physically, to even, or the wherewithal to know what to do. She outreached to me. Not to have her here is a grave injustice and shows lack of humanity. I want you to know there'll be other people who will fall through the cracks, who will become homeless, and will possibly die in unclement weather. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Claudia?
Thank you.
Okay, I gotta do this fast because I know I'm only 3 minutes. Okay, a review of the attachments of today's agenda strongly indicates that the Senior Center's outreach services and capabilities...
Can't hear, Claudia.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Can I get my 2 minutes up?
Keep going.
A review of the attachment to today's agenda strongly indicates that the Senior Center's outreach services and capabilities will be eliminated, and its extensive information and referral services will be scaled back. When were you and Park going to tell the public that you plan to do this? First, the attachment for the proposed Ashland Senior Program description does not include outreach services. It also mentions using the connection services of RDCOG, located in Central Point, and other agencies. Secondly, the ad hoc purpose senior program manager description does not include outreach or case manager experience. Instead, the role is limited to facilitate and oversight. It also states that the manager must represent Ashland Senior Program at the RDCOG Senior Advisory Council. This indicates that the outreach and many informal information referral inquiries will be transferred to RDCOG services in Central Point. Seniors could reach them by phone or through website, which most seniors can't do. RDCOG's connection services have always been available to Ashland seniors, if you know this. I know you guys know this. It is funded by the Older American Act, OAA, for the counties Jackson and Josephine. Ashland seniors did not find RDCOG's connection services user-friendly or helpful and went to the Senior Center to find practical assistance. Currently, a member of the RDCOG connection staff is in the Senior Center 1 day a week. Her hourly charge is $58 plus travel time is much more than the 32-hour rate of the prior senior manager and exorbitantly more than the prior staff rate of 16 per hour. How is this being cost-effective? Have you done due diligence in collecting RDCOG services? And have you assessed the impact of changing from qualified senior center staff performing its integrated services? Have you reviewed RDCOG's costs and performance results? Third, outreach services are not in the best practice or standards list for senior centers. Is this the reason Parks and Rec and the ad hoc committee don't value these vital services, even though they've been extremely active in Ashland? Fourth, the ad hoc needs assessment shows that ad hoc is building from scratch. This really hurts because my mom's only been there a year, but I've seen the good, amazing staff. So as a former staff member put it, the senior program is not a shell of a program waiting for reconstructing by the ad hoc committee or the parks. As it stands now, it's been heartbreaking watching the dissolution of former connections and almost Alice in Wonderland-ish. to watch those trying to recreate them as if they hadn't existed. The dismissal of the importance of the institutional memory and the community involvement, I'll be done in 1 second, John, as well as the lack of an accurate reflection of the former program, is in the least disappointing. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next two speakers are Ed Green and Mike Hirsch.
I'm Ed Green, Ashland. August 6, 2017, Ashland was proud of its enviable senior support program staffed by dedicated, highly skilled, knowledgeable, and compassionate workers. Overnight, for no legitimate, justifiable reason, that program was terminated. All staff laid off. Why? Needed new blood, said the director. But the program was working. The staff was qualified. You, each of you, I'm sure, are public-minded citizens who accepted a call to research and build a senior program. Have you asked yourselves why? A superb senior program, including social services and outreach, was already in place. You are now spending a great deal of effort and time reinventing the wheel. What are you laboriously trying to do had already been refined over decades to a model, efficient, always under budget, compassionate, widely admired program, which did not need to be fixed. Instead, it has been decimated. Oh yes, finally an apparently skilled worker puts in 1 day a week at $58 an hour plus travel. The admired but laid off director was in place 5 days a week at $32 an hour. What kind of an upgrade is that? Do you feel good about being part of destroying such good? Currently, in the dead of winter, needy elderly seniors are not being properly served. You probably choose not to think about it much, but APRC is under no obligation to accept and implement a single one of your eventual recommendations. A favorite device of government at all levels is to appoint a commission. The commission cranks up, has meetings, hears testimony, writes a report, and blank disappears. Nothing is implemented or adopted. Window dressing. It's doubtless late to point that out. You're involved and committed. But please do think about what I just said. Are you doing good, or are you being used to cover up damage to a senior population? Some, many of whom have nowhere to turn.
Thank you, Ed. Mike?
I thought about this long and hard, and while I strongly agree with the previous five, I see that by accepting a position on the ad hoc committee from the public, you're trapped to an extent. So I'd like to make some suggestions regarding item 9. Specifically, no, I don't think we should get someone new. I think we should hire Chris back. But putting that aside, if you really want to hire someone, not Chris, to be the senior program manager, I strongly recommend that when you evaluate criteria, and I've been in your position, rank empathy far over efficiency. Rank care far over cash management. Rank relevant experience well over formal education. And by relevant experience, I mean individuals who have been managers or assistant managers of senior programs in small towns, less than 30,000 in population, and where the people that they are managing get interviewed and tell you how good they are where they are now. Additionally, if you really wanted to be fair, you would include some seniors selected by senior program users part of the Senior Program Manager Selection Committee with full voting rights, meaning none of you guys here, but survey the people who come to lunch all the time and use the services and let them select some people to represent them in the Senior Program Manager Selection Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I want to make one comment that everyone on the FFAC committee, you're welcome and encouraged to comment and respond to the public input you receive later in the meeting. So throughout the meeting today and also at the end where we have items from members, I just wanted to remind you of that.
Yeah, I want to double down on that. I think that's a good idea, and I hope all those of you who have to leave will take a look at the video recording so that you can hear the responses of committee members. I think they'll be important to each of you. So we move now on the agenda to the fifth item, where you as well can comment on that, and as you bring us your progress report on the senior program. Rachel.
So just to give everyone an update, the Senior Center is open Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 3:30. It is a staff facility. Natalie Metler is our support staff at the facility, along with Lori Haysworth. All of our regular programs and services are happening. Tai Chi, yoga, line dancing, somatics, discussion groups, blood pressure clinic, dementia caregiver support groups. All the recreational and social activities are happening weekly. Cribbage, spades, Mahjong, Friday Movie, the Lending Library, and distribution of donated items are available. Appointments are being taken for foot clinic, the Senior Health Information Benefits Program, PC and MAC tutoring, prescription medication review, and blood pressure screening. We have a couple, four different classes coming up through AARP for driving, February 21st and 22nd, as well as May 9th and 10th. The Food and Friends Meals program is happening each day from 11:30 to 12:30. The APRC just finalized an IGA a few weeks ago with RV COG to provide some on-site services. Katie Marola is from RV COG, and she is on-site each Wednesday from 8:30 until 3:30 and is available for private appointments on-site at the senior program. RVTD bus passes and value lift passes are being distributed as needed. The Elite Utility Discount Program, that's the Ashland Low Income Energy Assistance Program. As of January 4th, utilities have received 242 applications, and 238 of those have been approved. APRC staff held an open house on Monday, December 18th at 2:30 and then again at 5:30. And this was a chance for interested citizens to find out more about the current programs of the Senior Center. Approximately 14 people attended between the different open houses. Retired detective and crime prevention specialist Ron Cole will be holding safety workshops for seniors from 12:30 to 2. And the first topic will be on January 17th. It will be senior exploitation. January 31st will be personal safety. February 7th will be fraud, scams, and cons. And February 28th will be understanding the internet and safety tips. Lori Stanton, regional coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association, will be leading two daytime classes at the Senior Center on January 24th, knowing the 10 signs of early detection matters, and then February 14th, the basics of Alzheimer's. We've got a partnership of local providers, and RV COG will be holding a six-week Living Well with Chronic Pain workshop, and that will be held at the Senior Center on Wednesday afternoon from 3 p.m. until 5:30, starting February 7th. This class will help you find new ways to manage stress and improve the ability to relax, fight fatigue and frustration, eat better and exercise safely, control pain and improve activity, and better ways to talk to your doctor and family about your health. You can sign up by calling 541-864-9611 or visit sohealthyoregon.org. And those are the programs we have coming up at the Senior Center, and all of those programs are all
Excellent.
I want to ask a question of Rachel. I think one of the comments that was made by the speakers was specifically related to outreach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you have an indication of how extensively outreach occurred prior to August, and what is being done currently to support the outreach program.
So currently we are not going out into people's homes, but we are able to accommodate when people come into the building, when they call. We are helping refer anyone who calls. We are making connections by connection each time someone calls or comes in.
Well, and how has it been?
And previously,
yeah.
I believe the same thing was happening. We were making.
Well, I just asked the question, as far as I know, we did have a part-time person who was doing outreach, and that person was working 10 hours a week.
Or less sometimes.
Something like that. I'm sorry that we do not have the records of all of the outreach that was done previous to this reorganization.
So there was one person doing outreach, going into homes? And is there any referral from the RV COG services for people who might need in-home option counseling?
Yes, Katie Marola, who's here on Wednesdays, when she engages with an individual, whether it's by phone or in person, if it seems appropriate to refer to our options counseling persons. We have trained individuals within Rhode Valley Council of Governments Senior Disability Services, who actually go to the home and review options with that individual.
Does that get your question in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I had a question. How do you know who needs to be reached if they don't know themselves, if they don't, like this gentleman who was here, who somebody reached out to him, she said, through Ashland Electric.
Right.
How do we identify the people in Ashland who need to be reached?
We have, through the phone line, the ADRC phone line, anybody in the community, whether it be family or friends or an individual themselves, can make a phone call in and have a conversation with an individual and learn what services may be available for them, as well as options counseling as one of the services. I think what I've learned from speaking to a number of people recently is that there's a lack of understanding and awareness of the service options counseling and other services that are offered under senior disability services. So what triggers in my mind is that there is a significant need for education as far as the resources that's out there, resources.
Uh-huh. So we have to depend on somebody calling somebody. And I mean, a senior who needs something calling somebody. There's no, I mean, for example, disaster. You mentioned being on the disaster committee or something at some point. And so how do you know who in town needs to be reached in something like that situation? It seems like we need some kind of way of identifying people.
Well, and I don't know that I could answer that question, but obviously we can't be everywhere all the time, and we rely on neighbors and friends and family passing information along. And the senior center serves as a location to get the information to, and from there to organize efforts to find the right agency or opportunity that each one of those people may need. In this case that we're talking about here, it even, I think, came through a different source, which is the city. Any city department, anybody who is responsible employee with the city should be able to provide some information to people and say, hey, there's a problem over here, and they should be able to direct them to where they can get help, whether it's a fire, call the fire department, you know, they need help with the police, call the police, and if you need help with senior services, then the senior center is the place to call.
Hey, Jim?
Earlier meeting, there's some testimony by Mike Hirsch, who mentioned the Meals on Wheels having some real value of touching base with some of the people who really are in that critical area where they have to have meals delivered. So I thought that was maybe they're not at the level of social workers, but they're people who can kind of keep tabs on things. I thought that came up earlier. So.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like outreach is a significant issue, including education on what is available, perhaps what will be available. Steph, did you ever have a...
Some of the things that have occurred in terms of connecting people to services are the fire department in terms of if people have an emergency call, they were about to slip and fall and have referred before to for services for that person, as well as the idea of a reverse 911 system has been brought up in terms of trying to find a way of helping people that are in an emergency. I do think it is really important to figure out how, in a disaster situation, to know who needs that help, and I know that we're working on that.
Yes, Laura, and then Catherine, and then we'll start to get ready to share.
Just to touch base on the issue of disaster, we do operate a disaster registry out of our office, and we have staff and volunteers that serve in capacity. When the person gets registered, that they may have special needs in case of a disaster, we have volunteers that will touch base with those individuals every quarter to confirm that nothing's changed and that they haven't moved, phone number is accurate, so that we, during a disaster situation, contact the first responders and let them know at that address and that location there is a need for special care assistance. And I give a more most recent significant impact that that service had was during the heavy-duty snowstorm that we had last year in early January, and we were able to do outreach and support of individuals, particularly in Department of Jefferson County when the snow was so significantly impactful. So, but we have registrants from all over Jackson, Jefferson County who are in that database.
Just
two things, and just to underscore what Laura said in terms of the need for more education about how to access the information for the ADRC, having taken the options counseling training, just so I could understand it, it's clear that if I wanted to call about my neighbor, I can, and I should, and so it's a matter of, or my mother, or anyone from, you know, if I'm away from Ashland and I know of something, I can call that number. And they will answer my need personally and respond to what I feel is needed by this person. And I think that it's important to know that we all hold this responsibility as community members to be aware. And I think through our CERT program, the Map Your Neighborhood process and so forth, is an attempt on the part of all of us here in Ashland to know who our neighbors are and know what their needs are in the case of just about anything, from enrichment opportunities to a disaster and that sort of thing. So it's incumbent on all of us to be a part of that information loop.
Thank you for that. We're ready to move on. Thank you for the report. Jackie.
Thanks, John. I'd like to just make some comments about the framework for our recommendations. And before I get to that, I would like to talk to you a little bit about clarifying the difference between two ideas that we keep using, labels that we use. And one is senior center, and the other is senior program. I want to make sure that the public understands there is no intention of minimizing our wonderful senior center as the hub of activities and programs and services for the seniors in our community. It's a place where we go to enjoy our many wellness and social activities, as well as the central location where we can get the information we need for ourselves or other seniors. The idea of a senior program is the service umbrella, so picture that umbrella, that encompasses partnerships and networks to link seniors to needed services that may be located inside or outside the senior center. Two examples of this are the Food and Friends program through RVCOG, that's the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, which is located at the senior center and is an important part of the senior program. Another would be the referral information specialist through ADRC, that's the Aging and Disability Resource Connection. And this is located, she's located at the senior center, and she links seniors to needed services outside the senior center often, so also a very important aspect of the senior program. I also want to just basically remind you of the standards of excellence. I know you have received them, you've reviewed them, we've discussed them. Rachel, I asked Rachel to fill out a checklist, which you also received, letting you know what criteria in the standards are actually in place or in progress or are missing. So in the areas of purpose and planning, community connections, evaluation, records and reports, those are missing. Those are areas where we need to, or some missing, definitely need to focus on. And then also in the area of program development and implementation. And that is just kind of a fancy way of saying the best practices, which are all the program ideas, the 10 major ones, that we've gone over, 11 major program ideas, and we'll be talking about that more. And then, as you're forming your recommendations, and I want to make sure this is very clear to the public, again, is that we all will be using, first of all the public input that we have received at our ASPAC meetings, as we're walking around, as we're at the senior center, certainly from our listening sessions, we'll be talking more about that, three of them, the open house, and participant surveys that have occurred, and also the coming up the community assessment, which will be going on in January. That's a lot of public input that we will be looking at and referring to. And then, of course, using our own expertise and knowledge in whatever areas those are. I'm a citizen, so I'm a senior citizen. I'm going to use that expertise to form and inform those recommendations. Are there any questions about the framework or standards or best practices?
I guess I wanted to say that what I heard from you is not only will you be using national best practices,
right,
but that they will be informed by a wide variety of inputs and localized.
And basically looking at them as guides and categories that will help, again, frame the recommendations. But whatever recommendation you decide you'd like to do, you will find an area it will fit under between the standards or best practices, which are the programs and services at the senior center and in the program.
Oh, Rob.
Do you have any sense of how many senior centers nationwide are using these standards and practices for accreditation or development purposes?
I'm trying to remember. I know there's two in Oregon, right? And there's one in, is it Salem?
One's in Salem, one's in Lake Oswego.
Lake Oswego. So there's only two in Oregon. And then across, I think there was only about 300 maybe. So, again, I'm not recommending an accreditation process for the senior program, certainly not now, but I do personally think it would be a wonderful thing down the road, a few years down the road, when we start getting the framework and the structure and the organization, I think it would be an excellent thing to do.
Thank you. Okay. So one more, and then my unpleasant job to move us on after that.
Well, I just had a concern as a, as a layperson, that the standards are very professional oriented, and they don't particularly appeal, as you can see from the comments, to the public. Mm-hmm. I think we have to be careful about that and not focus so much of our attention on them as we, best practices, I think, is a better place to focus our attention. That's my opinion.
I hear you, and I certainly, I think we still will be using the standards of excellence, but I don't think they have to be so highfalutin sounding. They can be simplified.
Okay. Thank you, and don't let my timekeeping prevent you from saying what's on your mind. We'll take care of things. I think we're ready to move, though. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So now we go to the subcommittee progress report. And we begin with Laura on item
And we have met twice since our last ASPAC meeting. That was on December 13th and December 29th. Our partnership subcommittee has completed a compilation of current partnerships and possible new partnerships that may enrich the senior program offering, including some that may lead to underwriting of program costs or program revenues. While there are some promising new avenues, we want to acknowledge that establishing and maintaining partnership relationships takes time and attention, and it will require a fully staffed program to evaluate the possibilities and to prioritize those that seem worth pursuing. Therefore, we are placing our summary of recommendations on partnerships in a binder that's going to be prepared by ASPAC for the new permanent staff, along with other documents of a background or advisory nature, rather than making it part of our recommendation report. So I would say that what I was really impressed with by our committee members was the commitment to really thoughtfully investigate potential of partnerships, recognizing the value and the solid support systems that have already been established, but looking at expansion potentials that the new manager might be able to integrate to the program.
So I want to ask a clarifying question, if I might, Laura. Does that mean that you'll have a list for the new staff? Will it be filled in with a paragraph here or there?
It describes potential and how that might play out, what they might have to offer.
And you were committee at this time, I heard you say, I want to double check it, that you're not going to suggest a recommendation along those lines.
That's our intention, in light of the fact that whoever the new manager is and staff would be the best orientation of what will fit with what is and the timing of when more and additional opportunities would be added.
Thank you. I know you said that. I want to clarify it for myself.
Is there
you.
Anyone else on the committee that would like to add anything?
Other questions or comments?
Probably the only recommendation we would make, but probably not a formal one, would be it's important to pursue partnership relationships because we recognize there are limitations on what staff can do. And so these are an extension strategy to do as much as possible with the resources we have.
I just wanted to add that we were working from a baseline of there's already a bunch of great partnerships going, and we're not recommending doing away with any of those.
No.
Just maybe there's some new ones the new manager can look at to add to an already impressive list.
And I also want to add that, reflecting on what Ann just said, one of the beautiful values of adding additional partnerships is an increased awareness and support for our senior population regionally. So some of the ideas that we will be putting forward on this list provide that opportunity for folks to become more aware and more supportive of both what's currently happening at the Senior Center and other ways that we can evolve into additional services in the region.
And let me just add that obviously the funding for all programs, education, health, everything is finite. And that when you are forming partnerships, you are in fact doing a form of advocacy with those funding sources to illustrate the very important support that is needed for vulnerable individuals.
Good. Thank you very much for the report. I think we're ready then to move on to Marion and Ann on senior program needs assessment.
Yeah, I'll start off. So the needs assessment subcommittee was formed primarily from the desire for ASPAC to have adequate citizen input, public input, for the recommendations that we're going to be looking at. The needs assessment subcommittee is Peggy Burns, Mary Russell Miller, Ann Delizia, myself, and Michael Glass. So we've actually done this inquiry in two phases, a qualitative phase and a quantitative phase, and the those two phases Anne is going to describe to you.
Okay, so the qualitative phase of our community needs assessment is pretty much complete, but of course we keep getting good information all the way along of a qualitative nature, and so it isn't stopping. But anyway, so some of the things that were part of our qualitative evaluation were we attended the Ashland Parks and Recreation Commission's meetings in August. We reviewed the Ashland Senior Program binder. We reviewed the Save Our Seniors website content, and some of us went to town hall meetings. We had public commentary at our ASPAC meetings like this one. We've had a lot of individual conversations with stakeholders, and we held three community listening sessions. And what we've heard really loud and clear in this qualitative phase is already driving some of our early recommendations to the Ashland Parks and Rec Commission and staff. In fact, some of the recommendations will be presented today. So in order to give quantitative weight to the specific staff selection criteria and to provide guidance to the incoming permanent staff regarding citizen preferences for programs, we're about to field a quantitative community survey. And as has been noted in our listening sessions, and that really reflects the experience of a number of us with experience in survey design, it's definitely not a simple matter to design appropriate survey methodology. So we used the following sources for background research. We looked at the Ashland Senior Program Satisfaction Survey that's been completed. We looked at surveys from other local organizations like the Rogue Valley Council of Government Senior and Disability Services did a very extensive needs assessment of senior needs in Jackson and Josephine County. And there is an AARP livability survey that was done among Southern Oregon seniors. And so, you know, we looked at those for information we could gather from them and also for help with question design. We looked at census data for Ashland. We also looked at the City of Ashland Community Livability Survey. This is a very extensive survey that goes out every other year. And it's about ready to be fielded again this year. We looked at community needs assessments used by senior centers in other locales. We looked at the National Senior Program Standards of Excellence and Best Practices. So with regard to the design of our particular questionnaire, we have a number of goals. First of all, we want to optimize the response rate by limiting the number and complexity of questions. And we want to phrase the questions in simple and unambiguous ways. We want to identify characteristics of the respondents for the purposes of cross-tabulation. And if there are concerns about sampling this data, this cross or this demographic data would help us do some adjustments in weighting responses. We're particularly interested in learning the extent to which our older citizens face challenges to their health, transportation, housing, finances, and social connections. Because we are hearing that there are a significant number of people who have these vulnerabilities. We'd like to get a sense of just how extensive that is. We want to definitely determine the characteristics of the senior program with the characteristics that matter to Ashland citizens. And we want to be able to gauge what any additional programs, the level of priority that we ought to be applying to them. We need to look at the utilization of other community resources. And since we can't do everything perfectly in our survey design, we have two questions that allow extensive verbatim responses so people are not shoehorned into specific questions. So since we are all either a senior now, will be, or we know a senior, we really hope that we will have broad participation.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about how we are promoting and distributing the survey, because I think in some ways that's almost as important as the survey itself. You've got to let people know it's there. And we've had some excellent assistance from the Ashland Parks and Rec staff. Dorenda Cottle has been doing a lot of formatting things for us. So what we're going to do, we're going to distribute flyers, and I have a bunch of flyers here that I'm hoping everyone in the committee and perhaps people in the audience afterwards maybe come pick up a couple, either hand them to an individual person or post them somewhere where people might see them. This will give information on how to access the survey. So we have flyers. We are also going to put ads in the paper. We're going to press release that Dorenda Cottle and Parks and Rec put together. They have a press release that will be going out tomorrow. We're going to push for having a feature article in the Tidings at least. It will also, the press release will be sent to the TV and radio stations, the local stations, as well as the newspapers. So we're hoping to get some publicity there. And in that press release, of course, there'll be information on how to get to the survey. We've got multiple ways that you can actually do a survey. You can click on an electronic link, and we're going to provide the electronic link that will take you right to SurveyMonkey. The survey has been written in SurveyMonkey, which probably you've all seen when you've done surveys online. So the electronic link will be posted on the City of Ashland website, the Ashland Park and Rec website, and their Facebook pages. The link will be put in the flyers. This is actually a web link, not directly to the survey itself, but to a page on the City of Ashland website that will take you to the SurveyMonkey link. The link will be in the newspaper articles and ads. We also will be sending out emails to OLLI, Ashland members of OLLI, and to Ashland at Home email list. So that link will be spread out pretty widely. Another way that you can take the survey is on a hard copy paper questionnaire. Now those questionnaires you can pick up at the Senior Center, at the Grove. We'll be putting some of them, as well as flyers, at the City of Ashland Utility Office, because there is traffic there, people in general, and also seniors. And we're hoping for not just seniors to respond to this. We want to get a broad response, as many people as we can. So we'll have something at the City of Ashland Utility Office. I think I'm hoping both OLLI and Ashland at Home offices, we can put flyers and or surveys and stuff. We will have the Senior Center phone number widely dispersed in the ads and the flyers. You can call the Senior Center and ask to have a survey mailed to you, and then you would have to mail it back or bring it in. We are going to have some tables set up on Monday, January 15th, and Friday, January 19th. We'll be at Pony Espresso in downtown Ashland. It's actually the Washington Federal meeting room. We'll be there from 10:30 to 12 in the morning. We'll have paper surveys. People can come in and do the survey right then and there and just hand it back to the person who's attending the table, or they can take it home and do it and mail it back in. We're going to be checking to see if perhaps we can send surveys out with the Food and Friends drivers, but haven't done research on that yet, or talked about that. So that's the paper option. The third option is that people can fill out the survey on the phone. If you're on the phone, you'll have someone talking to you, walking you through the questions on the survey, marking them down on a paper survey, and that will later be entered into the SurveyMonkey system. So we will have, eventually, all the surveys that we receive will be entered into SurveyMonkey. SurveyMonkey will give us the ability to do a lot of cross-tabulation and analysis of data. So I think fairly quickly, we'll be able to come up with quite a bit of information. The survey itself, we are starting, depending on approval from this committee, we're starting January 10th and we'll be going through the 26th. So we will have a week or so before the February meeting to pull together some data. We will, of course, be getting some verbal responses in the boxes where people can write things in. Those likely will take a little bit longer to pull together and to try to categorize and see what kinds of things people are wanting to say that are outside the survey questions. So at this point, the survey committee, all of us, have spent quite a bit of time on the survey itself and on the distribution process. We're hoping that our recommendation passed on to you, and I think all of you got the survey itself in email, so you've had a chance to look at it, that you're ready to proof of it and tell us to go forward.
So, Jack, do you want to call for a motion, and then if there's any more discussion, we can manage that, though, again, we are time-bound.
I know. Can I hear a motion, please?
I don't think so.
Thank you. Can I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you. Excuse me, John.
I'm sorry. And then I want to make sure there's some discussion. Yeah, okay.
Is there any discussion?
Thank you, Jackie. Sorry.
I was really impressed looking through the content of the questions and the comprehensive nature of the look at possibilities and realities and things like that. I was really impressed with it. Thank you for the work of the
study. Any other discussion? Okay.
Can everybody go to churches?
Yeah. In fact, we're going to be mailing the flyer, and we have labels already printed out to go to the Ashland Religious Community.
Yeah, we will mail each of these churches a flyer and I think a paper copy of the survey, and if they want more, they and feel free to ask us to drop off some more copies of the survey for their community. Thank you. Okay, so all those in favor of the survey moving forward, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, survey moves ahead. Okay, the next item is the report on, I will talk just about the listening sessions because Rachel, you already talked about the open houses, so thank you for that. As you know, we had three listening sessions, and we had about 30 members of the public at each of those three sessions. We recorded their comments on ideas on chart paper, and I wanted to just briefly mention what the most common comments and that happened over and over again that we received. By far, the most frequent comment was the need for experienced and knowledgeable senior program staff. These comments included descriptions such as qualified, compassionate, knowledgeable about aging, and able to navigate local, county, and state agencies. Also, the ability to provide outreach and referral assistance to the right agency or person, trained to work with seniors, social work experience, expand full-time staff to cover services and meet the coming increased demand. The program ideas, there were many. These are some of them. Transportation to the senior center for the lunch program and field trips. More classes offered, especially in the areas of health, aging, and end-of-life issues. Also mentioned were technology, bocce ball, book clubs, tea time, evening social dances, longer daily hours, and more classrooms, including at other locations. Funding ideas, prioritize the APRC budget to focus on the senior program. Explore other funding sources, Friends of the Senior Center Foundation, legacy gifts, space rental, fundraising. And then another area, organizational structure and process, create a separate division for the senior program. Accelerate the recruitment and hiring of a new senior program manager. Publicize meetings more. Expand senior newsletter distribution. Focus on seniors, not recreation. Create a more progressive, inviting, and inclusive senior center. Make a long-term plan. All of these ideas will be referred to as we begin making our recommendations. Any questions?
Thank you, Jackie. We can move on to Jackie.
Yes, sorry about that.
No,
so
no,
we're moving on to talking about the organizational structure. And given the level of community value and the importance of the senior center and its services, which sometimes we'll say call the senior center program, I believe the Ashland Senior Program should be a separate division within the APRC reporting to the Director of Parks and Recreation. I included in your packet the 2017-19 approved organizational chart, and this shows the senior program as a separate program within APRC. It is not a division, however, and currently it is under the supervision of the Recreation Department. I also have provided you with a handout, looks like this, you just got that, showing what a separate division would look like. This chart was taken from the 2016 performance audit, and it shows five divisions consisting of parks, recreation, capital projects, golf, and the senior center. I want to make an important distinction between the Recreation Division and the Senior Center Program. The Senior Center Program is not a recreation program. I have received numerous comments from the public regarding this difference. The Senior Center Program is a vital connection for many seniors who come to the center for nutrition, well-being, social services, fun, education, and meaningful activities that provide the social connections that seniors value most. There are many ways that seniors can enjoy recreation activities throughout our community. The YMCA, rec classes at the Grove, hiking the trails, visiting the mini parks, golfing. Given the input from the public and the responsibility we have to provide our senior citizens with the services and programs that they need, we must support our senior program with the leadership and structure it requires to get the job done. I am recommending that the senior center program be a separate division reporting directly to the Director of Parks and Recreation. Discussion, questions?
Could we see a copy?
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, I was wondering if Michael Black was involved in any of this discussion at any point.
I was aware, absolutely. And, you know, I want to, the ad hoc committee was set up to make recommendations, which is what they're doing. And I think there's definitely value. You haven't asked me for a statement, but I'll tell you. I think there's definitely value in organizing it the way that Jackie is describing. There's value organizing it the way that we were talking about under recreation. I think the point, if I may say, the point of putting it in its own division is to emphasize it more, not to reduce the recreation aspect. As I understand it, the recommendation probably also entails increasing recreation activities for everybody, but not doing it under the auspices of just the senior program, but working with the senior program, increase activities that will be good in recreation for seniors, and so on and so forth. I think that we can accomplish all the same goals either way we go, but I do understand and see the statement that it makes the way that Jackie is proposing it.
I would like to see if anyone has a motion.
I would like to move to support this as a separate division.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion, further discussion? Yes, Mike.
I've had the opportunity to, since it was brought up to me last week, to, you know, to think about the potential change, and I see valid reasons for making it its own division, and I'll be interested to see that recommendation in front of the Park Commission.
Thank you. Catherine, did you have something?
Yeah, I have a question about the organizational chart referencing the Matrix consulting.
Yes.
What was that?
That was from the performance audit of 2016.
Correct.
And, Michael, it was generally how it was at the time. Was
well,
it was?
This is a snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
This org chart is a snapshot of what it looked like at the time. After this, we went through a budget process and we reorganized again and put senior was under recreation. When we did this, it was under me, and then we went back to under recreation again at the last budget process. So I'm not sure I'm answering the question, but this is how it was. It's not how it is today.
One thing I just want to mention, as we get to talking about the job description in our next item, and as we're listening to the level of expertise that we're looking at in terms of knowledge and able to do outreach and to manage and supervise and lead and network and link, all of these different things, you're looking at not just a simple senior program. You're looking at something that is, it has the community importance and value of a division. And over again, I have heard the public say, please prioritize the senior program. Please show how it's different than the other programs. We're not golf, we're not parks, we're not recreation. And so I think a division with the level of expertise that you are going to hear about in the next item will make it clear how important it would be to have a division. Also, communicating with the city, with presentations and networking out into the county and the state. This is a higher level that we're looking at going forward.
And foundations and any other potential group, if you have it separate, then it's very clear that the benefit is going to go to that program that they're supporting.
Absolutely.
And then Catherine.
I just wanted to say, with the if it's reorganized as its own division, it puts more emphasis on the leadership of that division and its direct relationship to the director, which I think is the point we're trying to make.
I agree.
In light of the 48% of the population being 50 or older in Ashland,
yes.
The fact that there are many advocacy, and you've spoken to it, and Jackie, is paramount that this person become actively involved in citywide planning issues, advocacy in the county and regional basis, as well as supervising what is happening there at the senior center headquarters for senior programs and services. So it's because of our population and this community, it calls to needing focus more than has been the case up till now.
Thanks, Catherine.
So, do you want to call for the question?
I think I did. Did we not have a motion and a second and a discussion?
Vote.
Let's have the vote. All, thank you. all approving, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Approved.
Is that the first official recommendation of this committee?
Yeah. It could
be
official, yeah, I think so.
Chronologically. Anyway, well, it's all tentative until it's passed. Okay, so we're moving on to a very important, they're all important, particularly I think tonight, item number 9, and Laura?
That was me?
Yeah.
So in a few moments, we're going to open up the floor for discussion to include the whole ad hoc committee, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of information to lead up to that discussion. So regarding the program description and the position description, the ASPAC partnership subcommittee developed the proposals on a framework template for the Ashland Seniors description, program description, its governance and leadership, and an Ashland Senior Program Manager position description
that were included in your committee packet and in distribution. The subcommittee had extensive discussions during our meetings. After looking at the best practices in senior centers and reviewing numerous job descriptions related to management of senior centers, identifying areas of emphasis that are frequently available in senior centers, and it was an extensive overview and a lot of discussion. I just wanted to let you know that this was just not arbitrarily extracted and put on paper. When we recognized the extent of the community partnerships that could enrich and help fund or reduce the cost of our program, we realized that the program manager needed to have an external as well as an internal administrative role, and saw this role reflected in the job descriptions of the other senior programs, and that was consistent with the standards of excellence and the best practices that we reviewed. But first, I would like to just touch base and review the document a little bit with you. Do those in the audience, have they seen this document, or?
Do we have enough?
I have extra copies here.
Oh, okay.
So, as you look at this document, you'll see that in reference to what I had noted before, that it was developed looking at senior program descriptions, and we looked at the standards of excellence, which are noted on the first page towards the bottom, looking at the proposed senior program description. In addition, the job description starts with the best practices that notes that this position would provide oversight of the social services, programs, activities, and operations of the senior program, including managing, staffing, and budgeting. And for those who are looking at this document in our audience, it's the under summary on the second page of the handout. I'm going to add an aside to what I've written to share with you today. It's just, I know we earlier heard a lot of talk about outreach and from our public speakers, and we've also heard it a lot in our listening sessions. And from my perspective, when we referenced that it would provide oversight of the social services, that would look at the capacity to do outreach or referral to outreach services that are regionally available. Thus, the duties and the responsibilities that are noted in the job description would include, as you flip through this document, planning, programming and evaluation, fiscal management, funding, communications and community outreach, participant relations, and personnel and volunteer management. With all these different areas under consideration, our subcommittee felt that we needed to identify someone for this position that has comprehensive knowledge and skills, including the level of management skills, successfully fulfill the role comprehensively and effectively. So with that kind of background and overlay of how the document is laid out, I'd like to open discussion on the proposed frameworks that we have presented in this presentation from our committee members. Are you open to discussing the program description as well?
Yes, both of these documents that are framework documents, yes.
Okay. As I look at the program description, I really understand what our public input people were saying today. All I've said here is that the social services will be assessing needs and providing information and referral. It doesn't say anything about doing outreach itself. And I understand you're saying, okay, certainly the manager coming in can decide to do that. I would suggest that perhaps I would be more comfortable saying something more direct about it in the program description, that this kind of service will be covered, if indeed we think it should be covered. And I know there's perhaps a little, I think, discussion about that.
I think that, those of us who use
the term social services. We understand that that's included, but I can see that people who might not hear that word or phrase in the description might be alarmed, thinking that we're getting rid of it, which is not the case. So putting that verbiage in there, I think, is a good addition.
Can I say something from a facilitator standpoint? Could we put this, Laura, could we put this description in the context of how it's going to move forward, how it's going to come to the commission, over to the executive director? I'm not clear, I'm not sure everyone's clear on that. This isn't going to be the decision description, as I understand it. Is that right?
This is a recommended template drawn from research and discussion that will ultimately be refined by the Parks and Rec initiative to do a hire for the position.
Okay, thank you.
So, and I've talked to Michael, too, about the process and using a recommended job description. We understand it would need to go through HR. There's an HR process. There's a legal process. I think what we're saying, though, is that these are the essentials that we feel are extremely important to be in a job description. And also in terms of the program description, I note that in the best practices, the first information item, information and referral services, is at the top of the best practices in the, focused on by the program. So just, but maybe focus more.
Well, I'm sorry. To me, it doesn't say social services. That says information and referral services. I don't get anything about outreach from that.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Thank you.
Laura, and then Michael has something.
Yeah.
No, okay, Laura.
So what we could put under consideration, is because we have a list here that includes but not limited to this list, we could add another bulleted item that addresses social service outreach or referral to regional outreach services.
You're getting some head nods around the table, Laura.
And I would just say that financial and benefits assistance is also part of that. It's not just information and referral, but you know, it's the work you do with individuals, as was expressed today, very, you know, assisting, not just referring. So yeah, but if it needs to be phrased in a way that will let people understand that we're not eliminating essential services,
right.
It's important.
I think the reason that I put forward consideration of social service outreach or referral to regional outreach services is that in the work that we do, there are some folks that could get all that they need by a one point of contact social service outreach, but there may be others that it might be beneficial to do referral in order to fully meet the needs of that individual, you know. Such as I've shared with many of you, that we have what's called the Reach Out program, which allows for, if an individual would like, to have a full psychosocial evaluation, a professional who comes in and does that to help the person really find the links that are going to help solve whatever their problem is. So there's a variety of services that can be done in direct social service outreach that might be called upon by the program in order to help meet those specific needs of individuals.
Okay. Mike Gardner, mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to add that as far as the process, you know, moving forward, I've had some limited discussion with Director Black, and I think after reading through the document of the program and the person that we would hire, there are probably some, you know, not, I wouldn't call them wordsmith changes, but ideas that we would want to have within this document as well. That would be one process, and then of course, as was already brought up, then it would have to go to the city HR department, and you know, it'd probably be shopped around a little more as far as trying to get the final document. But you know, just as a process that I would want everyone to be aware of, that we wouldn't want to go through that.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Anne, I think the other thing is
obviously, in many organizations, there are standards of the way hiring is done. I'm sure they exist within such a large organization, the city or the Parks and Rec. So, yes, you have to conform to those things in terms of the job description that is posted and used for recruitment. However, I would say that the concepts that are in here, we would really like to see used for sure in the selection process. So, you know, obviously it's not just what you put out publicly to recruit, but in the selection, the weighting of characteristics of the candidate.
So I think these are useful distinctions, those that you've added, Mike, and Anne, thank you. Some other comments, Jim?
I'd like some more discussion on the research you did with other senior centers. Is this pretty much comparable to senior centers in Oregon, or?
We looked at, I would say, about maybe a dozen, and so, you know, we had some. We actually have a baseline in the existing job description, and so that, you know, that was part of it, and then looking also at other programs, and we didn't really necessarily say, oh, we can only look at ones in Oregon, or, you know, we can only look at one. But anyway, the ones that seemed to reflect the values of our community were the ones that we weighted, because those are the ones, you know, we've been hearing from the listening sessions what people are looking for. So we wouldn't necessarily model ours on a program where recreation, for example, was the main purpose of that program.
Just as a layperson, I had a hard time with the job description, trying to sort out what were the priorities. It's a huge description for somebody reading this, and you look at it and you think, oh my God, nobody's going to be able to do this job. And so how do we look at this and say, oh, well, these are the 10 most important duties of the person, and then these are the secondary ones or additional ones, and I guess I'm looking at it not from a professional point of view, but from the point of view of the public. How are they going to do this? How are they going to be able to decipher this description of a job?
I will just share that I have been fortunate enough in my career to be put in a position where I've helped develop job descriptions in a lot of different domains, and interviewed a lot of really highly qualified individuals who could really find the components of the job description, fit their background and skill set. And when we started doing this research and discussion and looking at what we were hearing from our community, and in looking at taking the challenge put before us as an ad hoc committee to identify a comprehensive senior program that we could take the strong baseline that was already established and spread it around to build participation in senior program across the region. We really strategized on the types of skill sets that would really make it happen. And I think during the search process, generally, folks who feel that they have the qualifications to speak to what is defined in a job description will step up into that application pool. And then the search committee itself would then look for how good a match it is for the description and what that person could possibly bring to the position, even beyond the description, whether it's in relation to knowledge and skills, or whether it's in relation to character and energy, all the things that would bring the strength to the leadership in this role. And I don't know if that helps Peggy at all, but I'm just looking reflectively on, even though a job looks could look very complicated in verbiage, ultimately the process would bring about who would elevate for the qualifications.
I've seen these other job descriptions from other senior centers. They look like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
there's two people who wish to speak, and again, I want to let you know we're running a little behind, not too bad. Jim and then Michael.
I also have mine.
Oh, I'm sorry, second is Jim.
I see this as an excellent framework to give to Rachel and Michael and HR, and it obviously has to be refined by that group, and so I think the work that you've done is moving this forward expeditiously, and I think that was a concern in the whole thing. So I see this as a chance to move ahead with the real document and the LA person as well. They are not lay people, so and they're professionals. So I think we'll end up with a great document to hire somebody, so and we'll be able to review that.
That's good to hear, Michael. And then Steph.
I was going to say almost exactly what you said, so I will say fine.
Well, so hearing from the commissioners and the director, they're ready to receive. It sounds like in a really positive manner. So thank you, Steph.
There are some areas that seem like a bit of an overreach to me. The developing long-term strategic plan in conjunction, I'm not sure that they would develop a plan, but that they would work with input to the plan, knowing in alignment with the City of Ashland objectives as they relate to. That's a fairly complex area for somebody to be able to develop without a lot of input from the city, from the commission. So I wonder about that in terms of how it's phrased. In terms of develop and implement emergency response policies, that's also, there's the fire department and public works and other agencies that they would need to work with. They're really probably the people that would develop those things, not this person that you're describing. In terms of guiding the development of senior programs to ensure consistency and coordination with other departments. Again, and the City of Ashland Goals, Programs, and Services. I think you need to be careful to know that there are long-term goals in terms of things like ADA accessibility or the built environment. There are a lot of things that deal with the needs of the city to develop an infrastructure that makes sense for seniors that feel like a broader responsibility to the commission and to prioritizing budget. I'm just, you know, be careful about some of that. You talk in here a bit about the awareness, the social media. You have a person that does that on parks, right? So they would need to work with that person because you have somebody already. In terms of the wording of guides, directs, and motivates subordinates, I don't know that I would use the word subordinates personally. I think it's just, I guess I've said enough. Those are the things that would be careful.
Well, that's a fair amount of input, and I wonder how the committee would like to proceed with that input.
What? I mean, this isn't the final document that you're going to be using, so you're going to be sensitive to some of the issues that Steph has raised, Anna, and so what we're really advocating for and would really like to call for a vote on is this framework the one that you'll use to guide you in your recruitment process, number one, and number two, can we get going on the recruitment? So those are really...
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking, too, in light of my preparation in case this was some after our discussion, it seems like we were going to go further on. And what Anne said was accurate. I was going to put forward a motion that really had two things within it. Just like Anne said, asking Ashland Parks and Rec to accept the recommendations from our committee and the whole ad hoc committee,
that encourages them to use the proposed framework documents as guidance in developing the senior program description and the senior program manager job description. And the second follow-up part of the motion that I was hoping to put before after our discussion was asking Parks and Rec to initiate and establish the search for the senior program manager as soon as possible. So that is what
I would like to move, that we do that two-part recommendation. We approve that two-part recommendation.
You
second?
Move it to
the chair. No. So
there's a motion. Is there a second? And then we can have
is there discussion?
Michael,
is there discussion?
Well, I just want to make a comment with regard to what Stephanie Seffinger has said. And I think the first thing you brought up was the developed long-range strategic plan with operational goals. And I do think what I'm hearing is that this group is recommending that we have a little bit higher level of management in the senior manager coming forward. And this is, based on what I've seen in this job description, some of the other things I've seen, like the budget being talked about a little bit, this is consistent with what I could expect from that level. It's develops long-range strategic plan. Think of it in terms of the same way I'm developing a long-range strategic plan for Lithia Park. I'm not doing it by myself, but I may be the person who initiates all of the steps to get it going and oversees the process as it goes forward and represents everything to the Parks Commission as we go forward. Some of the other things that you brought up, I agree, we may have to look at as we fine-tune it, and it might be assist with or participate in those types of things. But I think as far as the description goes that's been given, it really is, I mean, it's a lot of work that's been done that's really appreciated because it shows the essentials as viewed from a lot of people who do have professional expertise in this area, which I really appreciate. And it's kind of an interesting one because we're making a recommendation on what the job description should say, the essential of the job description, which is administrative decision, but you're making the recommendation to the Parks Commission. So it's kind of, it's interesting, but I do appreciate it, and I do think that we could work with this set of essentials, I'll call it.
So let's figure this out, Jackie. There was a motion. Was there a second?
Can I have a little more discussion? Just one more thing. I want to make sure that Michael feels comfortable about the second part, which is, can we start the recruitment process right away? And I,
Well, we heard as soon as I heard as soon as possible.
Well, I can
right
tell
away.
You. I can tell you that it's my goal as well to begin the recruitment process as soon as possible. I couldn't tell you today what day we're going to advertise and things like that. I need a little bit more time. HR has to review this. I need to review it a little bit more. Rachel needs to review it a little bit more. We need to go through a little, a few more processes before we get to that point. And you know, we're a pretty big organization when you combine us with the city. We have a certain way of doing job descriptions and things like that. So we will have to bring that into that methodology and everything. So I couldn't tell you right now, but I agree we could move forward as soon as possible.
The hope, of course, would be that we would have a senior manager that could start July 1. That would be the hope, yes?
Well, I can't promise anything, but I hope so, too.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of hopes. We've got Jim and Laura.
I hope before we second this, and I'd be glad to second it, we might want to think about amending and just adding that wordsmithing the outreach in there, a pretty simple thing, and then I would gladly second that.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, Jim, is that we would add one more bullet to this document that says social service outreach or referral to regional outreach services in that course of that list.
I'll second that.
Well,
I also want to note that Michael has taken note of what Steph has listed, so it's not forgotten.
So it's been moved and seconded that we approve the recommendation for the program and job description and for the recruitment of a senior manager as soon as possible.
As amended.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but one thing I would like to just point out is that in the motion it says asking Parks and Recreation to initiate and establish the search for the senior program manager as soon as possible. So with that in the framework, it could be sooner than July 1st. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I would be happy to offer, give me a week to review, to talk to people, and get an idea, and then I'd be happy to give you an idea of when that could start.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion carries.
Excellent. So we're about 15 minutes behind. I think we did really, y'all did really important work. Two major recommendations have been agreed upon. Jackie, you're going to lead all members in the discussion about budget.
Yes. And this is a preliminary discussion of the budget. I expect to be talking and listening also in February when we discuss more on this topic. The history, very briefly, is that in 2007, the senior program was moved from the city to APRC because the city was financially stressed and APRC was well-funded at the time. Since then, the APRC has received no specific financial assistance to operate the senior program over the last 10 years, which has created the current need for additional funding. The problem is that in order to provide the level of knowledgeable staff, networking with community partners, and the ability to link seniors to needed services, as well as expand programs such as referral information, outreach, transportation, additional classes, and more field trips, we need more ongoing funding in the APRC senior program budget for personnel. The current approved senior program budget for personnel for 2018-19, so this coming year, is $151,000. I'm rounding up a dollar or something. And that includes benefits for one senior program manager and one part-time 10-hour a week office support. It could be split a little more. You might end up with two 10-hour people, but it's basically the one senior manager and two part-time people at the moment. This means that there would not be any coverage of the senior center program when the manager needs to attend meetings and network with county and community organizations or perform other duties as assigned. In order to hire an experienced, knowledgeable senior program manager with a full-time coordinator, office support, and rent referral assistance, it would cost $232,000, and that's a Tier 3 benefit program, which is the lower benefit, up to $262,000 with a Tier 1 benefit, and that is for someone that is already in the Oregon PERS retirement program. This amount of money would provide basically a two full-time 0.75 staff up to 3.0. If we are hiring a manager who is already, and I told you that, already in Oregon, you've got to use that higher number, which was 262,000. That means that APRC needs approximately an additional $100,000 to fund the senior program at an appropriate level to provide adequate services for Ashland seniors. These services include outreach, community partnerships, and linking seniors to needed services and expansion of current programs. So where does the funding come from? Solution, one idea. As a community together, we need to face the realization that many of our older seniors need their basic needs met through a network of services. It makes sense for the city and APRC to jointly provide the support mechanism to link needed services to the people who need them. That takes knowledgeable staff and especially a highly skilled senior program manager whose job it is to network throughout the city, the county, the state, and federal organizations on aging to provide services for our citizens who require them. In order to provide the level of staff expertise and support for a growing senior center program, there needs to be a joint strategic planning process with the city and APRC on how to meet the needs of Ashland's growing senior population, those in the 80-plus category, our super seniors. This was the fastest-growing subgroup in the 2010 census. And Bellegia has termed this the silver tsunami. We need to find the higher ground and join together as a community in a joint strategic planning effort with the city and APRC to do the right thing for our community elders. I want to also mention that Steffi gave me an article that she wrote in the Tidings back in 2014, and she pointed out, first of all, the estimated number of people in Jackson County age 80 and older is expected to more than double in the next 20 years. Also that Jackson County has a distinctly higher than average number of elderly seniors than other Oregon metropolitan areas, and almost 30% of them live alone. In addition, Steffi pointed out that there has been a desire and a partnership in the past to come together, both the city and the parks, to achieve the city goal, which is currently there, 6.3, which is to explore expansion of the senior center and senior services in Ashland. And I didn't know if you wanted to add anything more, Steffi.
Well, as I said before, I think it's very important to infuse the needs of seniors into areas of planning into all of the departments so that when long-term planning and strategic planning occurs, that's taken into consideration. It's an issue of priorities, and I know that in the coming budget it's going to be a very difficult budget, so it's going to be very important to prioritize, and a difficult decision for parks too, because as the budget now stands, the budget committee determines what portion that parks get, and then the park commission decides how that's going to be utilized. So that's the reality of Ashland in terms of its charter.
Mm-hmm. So that's useful to know. Jackie, what would you like from the committee members at this time?
Well,
questions or comments or both?
Yes, I would love to have some questions and comments. I would also know if I have heard from some members that they would like more education on the budget, and maybe hear from staff, probably Michael on this one, how the current budget that's been approved, how it would be used, and then what would be the recommendation in order, if we're looking at a separate division for the senior program, and we're looking for the kinds of expertise and responsibilities in the job description that we are recommending, we are going to need to support that with ongoing budget support. It's not a one-time cost that we're talking about, so it has to be in the budget or in dual budgets. So, your thoughts?
A few minutes on this, if you want more time on other things, that is.
Jim?
At the listening session, somebody brought up a suggestion I thought was interesting, a community that has a senior center foundation, and they fund some of the social services with that. I thought that was a very interesting thing, and maybe we have a Parks and Rec Parks Foundation, but it wasn't as specific, maybe. So I'd like to hear more discussion on that and add an accessory to the property tax budgets that we are working on today, which really we submit our budget with the funding for all the departments to the budget committee, and they approve it. So I think it's kind of the other way around. They don't give us a pot of money that we decide as much. We kind of decide where it's going first, propose it, and then get approved, so we have to justify our money. So it's an interesting process, and Michael's pretty good at justifying what we do. So
that's a useful addition as well. Thank you. And Mike, you had your hand up again.
Just need some clarification. The last comment you made was some kind of dual budget. I don't know what you meant by that.
Well, what I I'm talking about basically a joint strategic planning process with the city and parks that would, of course, include looking at the budget. Where do we find an additional $100,000 in order to provide for the program we really think we should have? And the concern I have is that it has to be an ongoing agreement because it's not a one-time cost. Now, social services, if it were a contract, Michael would have to speak to that. You probably could do something with foundation money for a contract.
Yeah, we could, you know, because contracts have begin and end dates. And we can put, if we had $50,000 and it was $25,000 a year, contract would be for 2 years, and that would be that. But if we included it in our budget as a personnel item in our budget, then we do have to have a source for that going forward.
More.
I think people in general do not understand the reality that they or somebody they care about is going to have serious things happening in their future that are expensive, and that these things arrive almost always without preparation, and they cost a lot of money, but they mainly require guidance. And we've heard testimony from many of the people who have found themselves in this situation, and they realize that they don't have these resources. And this was all when we had a smaller or at least more healthy and functioning group of people. But we have 46% of our people way higher. I think we just heard today 36% 50 and above in Jackson County or something. We're 46%. So we're accelerating as the need. So that's, you know, when we talk about funding priorities and you think about quality of life in the city, you have to accelerate this as a city priority, however the funding is arranged between the parks and recs and the city.
More on funding, Mike.
I just wanted to add one thing for the committee just so we understand. So we approved the 2-year budget starting last July 1st. We're halfway through the first year. If we follow that timeline of having someone hired by July, we'll be through the first year of our budget cycle. You know, so what we're looking at is, you know, where do we come up with the funds for this 18-19, the second year of this funding cycle, before we even get into everything that would be discussed when the budget committee would, you know, tell us how much money we have, or the city council would, and, you know, we'd be plugging everything in like we just did a year ago, you know. So I just wanted to be clear on that.
So there's two separate things. The budget for 2018-19, which Jackie says it could cost an additional $100,000, and then more permanent considerations.
Right. So in other words, the 18-19, that budget has already been set.
Right.
You know, so to find the extra revenue is squeezing it from something else. You know, moving then to the next cycle, you know, if you come up with a line item and this is what it's going to be, then you fit it in with everything else you do. But right now, that line item is already there. It's established. And there'll be a shortfall.
What about, Stephanie, we were talking about the social services grant.
Well, that is something to look into. I'm not sure specifically what the requirement is to have a social service grant. The city did establish about the same time that they changed senior services to the park. Social service grants that come out of the general fund for organizations, nonprofit organizations. The Resource Center, for example, has been funded in part by that grant. And I would think that would be something good to investigate. The only thing about that is it's not
permanent.
It's a one-time grant, so that
but the
you have
pot,
to see how that
but
would
the
work.
General,
but the pot is there all the time.
The general fund is, if it's coming from the general fund, that is a continuous source.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, certainly there is that money that's used for a social service grant that there could be a decision that some of that money could be used in a you know, it's one avenue to investigate.
Catherine?
What is the amount in that fund, Stephanie? I mean, just in general,
I
hold it.
I might be way off. I think it's $165,000.
And that's not CDBG?
No, that's not. It's a different.
It's city.
It was established, not even by ordinance, I don't think, by the city council. And it is general money.
I think we can stop at this point because leave some. We will bring this back for the February meeting.
February meeting. So, but and we and you have in front of you the consideration now, and there'll be some more input between now and February. But Catherine, you have something.
I just want to add. It's really hard to get my head around numbers.
Yes.
There's not anything
yes.
in front of us. So can we be sure to well in advance? Have something in our hands, and if it takes educating again, I know we talked briefly, but not long in this group about the current budget and so forth.
Yes, and I will send you, I will email the whole FPAC committee on these numbers. This was pretty recent that I was able to get all of this, so that's why we need to continue the discussion to February. I will get you more information for sure.
In terms of current expenditures and then
and Michael will help me with that.
I think we sent out current expenditures. If you're interested in looking at current expenditures
as compared to
yes, the current budget amount versus what's proposed. Yeah.
Okay, so we have 10 minutes left, and I do know I lined up with Jackie. This may be an opportunity for committee members to bring up anything, as well as what she mentioned earlier, any responses to, if people have them, to what was heard in the public input. Of course, there's other opportunities for that kind of response, but this would be one, Jim, and then Ann.
I'd just like to say, despite rumors, the Parks Commissioners take your recommendations extremely seriously, so I want to get that clear.
Thank you. And
I wanted to speak to two things. One of them was the weighting of qualifications on for the job selection on the basis of artificial perhaps things like degrees or things like that, and the emphasis that I think people were describing of empathy and warmth and personal characteristics. And I would like to second that because I know sometimes there's like, well, you have to have a bachelor's degree, you should have a master's, and you should have an MSW. And anyway, a lot of times job experience or personal experience can count quite a bit. And if you overlay something like a master's degree, you know, if it's in, I don't know, physics, it's not really useful. So I think being responsive to the concerns that we embed into our recruitment process, the idea of really looking for what the person needs to know. I think the other thing I heard was the outreach, which we in fact have incorporated. What else? There were other comments that.
It was about an internet-based system.
Right, and I think the with regard to the survey, we've definitely taken care to make sure that there were all kinds of mechanisms, but also in just accessing services like the ADRC, which has an internet facet to it. But most people can make a phone call or have somebody concerned about them make a phone call. And that's probably one of the strongest ways that people are getting information through the ADRC.
Jackie.
It's another item. Did you want to respond to Anne, Stevie?
It's sort of the same idea. I think that it's going to be important to decide how much of this person's time you want in direct service with this population at the senior center.
Right.
Versus how much do you want this person to be somebody that can develop volunteers or other services that would provide that? So it's something I think is important to take a
And we'll talk more about that, but that's why the idea is a senior program manager as well as a full-time coordinator, and then office support, and then referral support. So that's where the additional 100,000 comes from.
And Catherine, is this about budget? Because I think Jackie has an item somewhat separate, right?
Yeah.
No, it really is just to support what Steph was mentioning, is that one-on-one services are really time-consuming, and we've described, and wonderful, but we've described a physician that needs to be aware of that and to some degree do it that person themselves, but to be sure that it's happening within the scope of the senior program.
Agreed. So one item I just want to mention, I think you can see how much we're trying to do and trying to accomplish and the crunching, you know, that's been going on, the hard work that's been going on behind the scenes here. It's very important that we look at having a standing ASPAC, or we would call it an advisory board, that I think needs to be seamless in terms of our committee ASPAC ending in March. Hopefully we can meet our deadline. And then the new Senior Program Advisory Board being able to begin to take over and continue the work as we move forward. And I just want to say I am happy to work with staff on starting to look at a recruitment, publicizing an application process, and then how those members would be selected if people are comfortable with me doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just nod? Is everybody okay with that?
I just want to point something out. I think that that's a recommendation that needs to go to the commission, and the commission, I can tell you right now, they're going to look favorably upon creating a board, something that we've been talking about for a long time. But I'm sorry, I couldn't start working or have staff start working on recruiting the board before the commission had an opportunity to get that in front of them and make a policy decision on the board.
So if I could work with staff to set up the criteria for the process, and then we could present that possibly at the February meeting, or no, there's
as
no way that
you could as a recommendation to get the process started. Yes.
Okay. So I guess maybe I need a motion for that, huh? Do I?
Well,
are we okay with me just moving forward?
I'm just trying to get away with.
Okay.
Does anybody have a problem with it? But Michael,
I
have some comments.
If it's not on the
take a motion.
I would just give you some advice if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
If it's not on the agenda, probably not a good idea to motion on.
Thank you. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at this point, I will be just meeting with staff, Michael and Rachel, just to talk about the process, and then we'll look at it again at the February meeting. Thank you.
Just quickly, one of the things I think we've recognized that there are areas that we need to think about easing the coming up to speed on the new permanent staff. And it sounds like there's going to be a little bit of a gap between that person being able to assume the position. So we are already creating a binder that has all kinds of background information, the survey, you know, all that kind of stuff, the community partners. But I think we will start and hope that this permanent standing board will finish. Yeah. To include things in there besides the background and survey and some progress against standards, community partners, ideas on facilities, transportation, fundraising, and marketing. So I don't think it's appropriate for our ASPAC committee to be doing those things, but I do think we can do some of the legwork to accelerate work on that as the person is hired.
Right. I mean, we'll get a recommendation on that next month. And Jackie, you want to say anything about those next meetings as we are now officially over time by a minute?
Yeah. So if you look at your agenda, we're looking at February 12th here in Council Chambers at the same time, 3:15 to 5:15, and then March 12th, same time and place, and those are both Mondays, so hopefully this will fit people's calendars. Questions or... And just a big thank you to everyone. Your discussion tonight was excellent, and we're really making great progress.
So much good work.
Yes, so much good work. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.